Stephen is going to come and share with us God's word. And over time, in just the 2.5 years that I've been here, 3 years that I've been here, I've just seen Stephen grow. He reminds me of kind of what Paul says in Scripture, imitate me as I imitate Christ. He doesn't claim to be perfect. He doesn't claim to be sinless, but he's saying, I'm going to try everything I can do in my life to grow in who Christ is and what Christ has for me. And so I'm just excited this morning to welcome Stephen to the platform to share God's word with us.
Good morning. Oh man, you guys make me nervous up here. Someone told me to get my nerves away, I guess, to look at everybody like they're in their underwear, but I don't know if I want to see some of y'all in your underwear. But I am so glad that high school is over with for us. It's been fun. I've made a lot of memories there, made a lot of friends, had some great times, but I'm glad to be done with it. Done with the schoolwork. Oh, it's terrible, at least for now. Got college later on in the fall. But man, this time is so busy right now with graduation and just baccalaureate and all those different senior functions we have to go to and just tests and all that. It's just, it gets hectic. And it can be easy to get distracted with life's distractions and just not, you know, like, to deviate from God's path for you and to really just stray from God. So it's easy to do that. And this morning, we'll be talking about how to grow up in your relationship with Christ rather than grow distant. So in our passage today, we'll be reading from 2 Peter chapter 1, verses 9 through 5. So if you want to turn to your Bible. And like my dad always does, out of reverence for God's word, let's stand and read this. Verse 5. Peter's writing to Christians in this time, and he says, "For this very reason, make every effort to add to your faith goodness, and for goodness, knowledge, and to knowledge, self-control, and to self-control, perseverance, and to perseverance, godliness, and to godliness, brotherly kindness, and to brotherly kindness, love. For if you possess these qualities in increasing measure, they will keep you from being ineffective and unproductive in your knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. But if anyone does not have them, he is nearsighted and blind, and has forgotten that he has been cleansed from his past sins." So something I wrote in my notes, you can be seated. Something I wrote was, being effective and fruitful in the knowledge of the Lord is the essence of spiritual maturity. Being effective and fruitful in the knowledge of the Lord is the essence of spiritual maturity. So I've summed up my message in two questions. And the first being, what is the importance of spiritual growth? Well, we have to realize the importance. And we have to be aware that the world does not revolve around us. So often we get caught up in our own selfish desires, and we get caught up in our own priorities, I guess you could say. And you may think, like, your life is good right now. Your job pays well, or you're making good grades. You have a loving spouse or boyfriend or girlfriend, and you have great friends. I mean, yeah, you've kind of strayed from God's word. You're a little distant. I mean, yeah, you might have not cracked open your Bible since last Sunday, or like, yeah, you haven't really prayed in a while, but, you know, like, life's good right now, and you don't see a problem with it. But I'm here to tell you that there is something terribly wrong with it. You haven't forgotten your salvation, but you have forgotten the implications of past forgiveness on present behavior. So you become nearsighted and blind of the ultimate goal as a believer. And you become selfish and you put your own desires above Christ, when in reality we should put Christ as a priority up on a pedestal high above our own. 2 Corinthians 5:17 says that you are a new creation. Like, your old self is gone. Put on Christ. Put on his desires. Make his desires a priority in your life. If we look back in verses 3 and 4 of 2 Peter, Peter's telling us that Christ died for us so that we could escape the corruption caused in the world, caused by evil desires. And for that reason, you should add to your faith. A verse that comes to mind, Justin mentioned it last week, last Wednesday, was Revelation 3, 15 through 16. And it says, I know your deeds, that you are neither hot nor cold. I wish you were either one or the other. So because you are lukewarm, neither hot nor cold, I'm about to spit you out of my mouth. So that's God talking to Christians, lukewarm Christians. You have the faith, you are a Christian, you believe in Jesus Christ, but you're stagnant, and you're not really doing anything to grow. And just like milk, as an example, milk is really good cold. I know David Crothers loves milk. Milk's good cold. I guess milk can be good warm. I'm not a big fan of it, but I guess if it's hot in your hot chocolate, it's good. But if milk has been sitting out on the counter, someone's left a gallon out for a few hours, it's going to be lukewarm, and it's going to taste nasty. I know that happens quite a lot in our house. Not a lot, but it's happened before, where someone's left the milk out, and it gets put back in the fridge, realizing that it's been out for a while. And then I might walk up and pour a glass of milk and then drink some, and it's nasty. It's lukewarm, and I want to spit it out of my mouth. So this is what, like, lukewarm Christians are. It's distasteful to God and unfruitful. And so my second question would be, how do I grow spiritually? So we've realized the importance, but we need to know that how to grow. So when we become new believers, we're born again. We're like babies. We've heard about Jesus Christ who says he can take away our sins and cleanse us from them so that we can be with God forever in heaven when we die. But we've heard this, and we're looking for something else, something more. We're craving more. And so, like, it's time for us to grow. So the Corinthians were the same way. Paul told the Corinthians that they're like newborn babies. They can only handle the milk of Christianity, milk being the elementary truths about Christianity, which would be the death and resurrection of Christ. But for most of us, it is time for us to grow up. It's time for us to get off the spiritual breastfeeding and onto the spiritual steak of Christianity. And so what we need to do is look what Peter says. And Peter, or the writer of Hebrews, tells us in Hebrews 6:1, leave the elementary teachings about Christ and go on to maturity. In our passage today, Peter outlines how to grow in Scripture. So if we look, it says, to add to your faith goodness. Goodness being like how Christ was good. And to add good to your goodness to knowledge. Knowledge is a big thing for Christians. Meaning, where do we get our knowledge as Christians? And that would be God's word. What God has told us through different prophets and godly men spoken through them. So, have you ever been in a situation where someone has asked you a question about God and you didn't really know how to answer it? I know that happens to me a lot. But through studying, through reading the word, you have to read the Bible. And you can't just only read it, you have to actually study it and get into the context and what the words mean and what the author is trying to tell us. And so through studying this, you'll be able to answer those questions from the unbelieving friend who asks you about salvation, or the atheistic coworker who is trying to question your faith. And you'll know how to answer respectfully out of the word. So Peter goes on and he talks about adding self-control. Self-control is a big thing. Being able to ask God for control over your desires, your selfish desires. And one thing you need for self-control is self-discipline. Self-discipline to stay in your quiet time consistently and daily. I know I have terrible self-control. My room is clean now because we had company over, but I have terrible self-control and self-discipline in cleaning my room. Past week, any time before that, if you could manage to shove my door open, you'd see a bunch of clothes and random things on the floor. I have terrible self-discipline in that. I have terrible self-discipline in doing my homework and schoolwork. We had a final project due in my statistics class, and it was a big project, our final grade. Of course, I did it the night of, I stayed up late, didn't finish, and it wasn't very good with my teacher. But another thing that I have a lack of self-discipline in is I procrastinated on writing this sermon. So it was probably Monday and Tuesday night that I wrote this, but that's okay. I'm just preaching the word. So we need self-control as a Christian, a growing Christian, in order to grow. We need perseverance. Perseverance to not grow weary of doing good. Not grow weary of going to church, or not going to church, because we are the church, but to fellowship with the body of believers. Justin mentioned it earlier that that a lot of seniors, after graduating high school, don't return to the church. I'm bad at statistics, but from my source, 88% of Christians, 88% of high school seniors who are brought up in the church don't come back to the church. But of course, 75% of statistics are made up. Joey gets it. But don't grow weary of doing good. Don't grow weary of furthering God's kingdom. Then he goes on and talks about godliness, to set yourself apart from the worldly actions. It's so hard to identify what's good, it's hard to, I don't know what I'm saying right now, so I'm just going to keep talking. Set yourself apart. Be holy as Christ was holy. Then he goes on to talk about brotherly kindness, and that is fellowship with the body of believers and loving and serving with them, serving the community and serving other people. He goes on and talks about love, and love is the whole thing about Christianity. Peter started out with faith, elementary faith, knowing Christ, but then he rounds it out and ends it with love, which is God's love, the agape love. And that is the whole purpose of what we do. To have love, we have to show Christ's love, and that is sharing the gospel. A lot of times, so many Christians don't see a need to share the gospel, and they go about their daily routine, going to church or going to work, and they don't make it a priority to tell others about Jesus, not only tell others about Jesus, but to live how they should, so that people would ask, like, what's different with them? Why are they acting like that? And there's your route to go into, this is what I believe, and this is why I'm different, because Christ has changed me. And there's that avenue to talk about Christ and to be able to work in this person's life and to move on from there so that you can share Jesus with them. But it was D-Now, this past D-Now, Southshut Now, that we did with our youth a couple weekends ago. And the theme was, why not us? Why can't we share the gospel and be those people? And so we talk about at different functions, let's share Jesus, man. Let's do this. Let's go to school and be on fire for him. But we go to school and the opportunity is presented, and we don't really. But this past, or the Monday, right after D-Now, I have this engineering class, and there's a little Pakistani girl who's in my class named Umlika. She's Muslim. And there's no one in the class really paying attention to us. And we're just sitting there talking. And she said to me, "Stephen," in her little Pakistani voice. I don't have a good Pakistani voice. She said, "Stephen, what is the gospel?" And I was like, "Wow, God, you couldn't have made that any more easier for me." Like, this person's just asking me, what's the gospel? Like, how easier does it get, you know? So I'm like, "All right, God, I'm going to run with this." So I said, I talked to her, and I went into the gospel, like, saying, "Hey, like, God created this earth, and it was perfect. You know, God saw what he created, and it was good. But through our selfish actions, sin entered the world. And through sin, everything was broken. Broken people, broken systems. And so there's this big old gap between us and God. And there's nothing in between that we can do to get to God. There's no bridge for us. But God, being loving God, loved us so much that he sent that bridge. He made that bridge, which is Jesus. And Jesus lived a perfect life. Even the Muslims believe this. I talked to her, knowing some background on her religion. The Muslims believe that Jesus was a perfect person, a perfect prophet, but he didn't die on the cross. And I told her, "No, listen, that's wrong. Like, Jesus died on the cross. He lived a perfect life because he is God. He's God manifested into man. And he lived a perfect life and died on the cross, delivered into the hands of sinners, so that we could live through him. And not only did he die, but he was resurrected." Justin tells us all the time that, you know, Muhammad died, Buddha died, and all these different religious leaders died. But Jesus, he died, yeah, but he came back to life. And that was what conquered the grave, what gave us the right into heaven. And so I told her this, and she's still in the questioning phase, just asking about what is Christianity, what is Judaism, sort of. And I even gave her a Bible with some highlighted verses in there, and was like showing her how to read it. Like, "Listen, this is God's word. This is what the Bible is all about. This is what we're all about." And just keeping in touch with her. I have her phone number now, and I didn't ask her, like, "Hey, babe, what's your number?" But I showed her the book of Numbers, and I was like, "This is the book of Numbers. Now, can I have yours?" But that is the whole goal of Christianity, to share Christ, to love others. And for many of us, it is time for us to grow up and to get serious about our faith and to become clear examples for younger Christians of how a Christian should live and how Christ loved. And it's time for us to grow up instead of grow distant. Will you pray with me? Dear God, thank you for this opportunity to get up here and preach, Lord. It was nerve-wracking, Lord, but I'm glad that I was given the opportunity to preach your word, God. And it's not my soapbox up here, Lord, but it's just me trying to tell the people, our church, what you have shown me through your scripture, God. I pray that these people would take this to heart and that they would use it to apply into their lives, God. It's fine to just read in the Bible, but we have to be able to apply it to our lives and to show your love, Lord. I pray that we wouldn't become familiar with the gospel, too familiar to where the gospel is an everyday thing for us, sort of, like that we would still see it as this glorious and amazing thing that you did for us, Lord. And I pray that you would be with us as we leave from here and in this invitation. And it's in your name I pray. Amen.